Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this pre-recorded worship service. This is for use on the Lord's Day of the 29th of November for our morning service. And this has been recorded on Friday evening, the 27th of November. And for your information, I'm standing in the pulpit. The only other person here is Robert Pinkerton, who's doing all the technical stuff. So we'll just begin with the announcements for this week. Hopefully later on we'll be recording the evening service, and that will be available on the church website, as the morning service should be. CD recordings will be made available to those who don't have access to the website, and if anyone else needs CDs, if you get in touch with me, and those can be made available. Wednesday evening of this week, that's the 2nd of December, there'll be a prayer meeting via Zoom. So those who are able to use Zoom, that will be happening on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. It'll be a 40-minute prayer meeting, and I'll send a message out via the church WhatsApp group with the joining information for that meeting. Services next Lord's Day, the arrangements are the same as for today. Hope to be recording on Friday the 4th for the Lord's Day the 6th, and the CDs, hope to have those out on the Saturday. Then the following Lord's Day, we hope that on the 13th of December we'll be back to holding our services in the church hall, relayed through into the church building. And that will be the services at 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. And before that then, the Sabbath school is due to meet at 11 a.m. And that was scheduled to be the last Sabbath school meeting before the holiday break. So Sabbath school, 11 a.m. on the 13th of December. And then one other announcement. At the end of the year, we normally have special offerings. One is for the work of Tear Fund, Children in Need. And then the other one is for the work of the Leprosy Mission. Now, I had forgotten to announce that the last time that we met. And so we will only have three Sabbath days potentially when we can gather here in Karatz. That'll be the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th of December. So if you have a contribution to make to the work of Tear Fund or to the Leprosy Mission, there's those three Sabbath days, and you can put that in an envelope marked for Tear Fund or marked for the Leprosy Mission. And everything that is given will be sent off then to those organizations in due course. So those are the announcements for this week. Today is the 27th of November, and 28 years ago, this very Friday night was a very wet night in Wishaw, and it was the night of my ordination and induction, as they call it, in Scotland. So 28 years ago was the night when I became the minister in the RP Church in Wishaw in Scotland. Now, we come to worship God together, and the opening item of praise for this worship service is from Psalm 40. Familiar words from the beginning of the 40th Psalm. It's on page 80 in our psalm book. We sing the first five stanzas of this psalm. Lewis has pre-recorded singing of this, so you can sing along at home to this psalm. The first five stanzas are the ones that we'll be singing. And the psalm begins, "I waited longing patiently. I waited for the Lord. At last he bowed down close to me and heard my pleading word. He pulled me from a pit of fear, from mud and clinging clay. He set my feet upon a rock and firmly fixed my way. He put a new song in my mouth, a song to praise our God, and many seeing this will fear and come to trust the Lord. So Psalm 40, the first five stanzas, and after the singing, then we'll speak to God in prayer. Now we speak to God in prayer. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we praise you that you are the God of whom we have sung, the God who has directed many gracious thoughts towards your people. And we thank you that you're the God who hears the prayers of your people and receives the praise of your people. We look to you today, O Lord. We're conscious that we're not able to be in our normal place of worship, and we do pray that you will be with us in the circumstances in which we are. We pray that you will bless all who seek to worship you in their own homes, and we thank you that you're the God who can put a new song in our mouth. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness for our sins. Lord, you know them fully. You know, Lord, the thoughts that we have had in our heads that we should never have had, the things that we should have thought that we never got around to thinking. You know the things that we've said that we shouldn't have said, and the things that we should have said that we didn't say. And you know the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, the things that we've left undone that we should have been doing. And Lord, you've seen all of this, and you know our sin full well. We come to you as sinners. We look to you for your cleansing. We pray, Lord, for your merciful dealing with us. And we pray that you'll be pleased to use this pre-recorded service for the good of your people. We pray that, Lord, you will show us your truth in your word. Help us to rejoice in the scriptures that you've given to us. And we look to you to work in our hearts by your sovereign Holy Spirit. Hear us in these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read from God's Word, reading from the book of Psalms. And it's the 30th chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalm 30. In the Church Bible, it's page 494. I read the words here of Psalm 30. It's a psalm of David. And it says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And so reads God's word. I say just a few words to the children. And we sang earlier there from Psalm 40. And within the words of that psalm, the words that we sang at the start of the second verse, it says, he pulled me from a pit of fear. And it's David that wrote this psalm, Psalm 40. And it's David that also wrote Psalm 30, which we've just read. And David talks about being in a pit and about God pulling him out of the pit. And David's not the only character in the Bible that is in a pit at some stage. You remember in the story of Joseph that his brothers threw him into a pit, and that wasn't a nice place to be. And the prophet Jeremiah is another person in the scriptures who was thrown into a pit, and it was the king who had Jeremiah thrown into the pit because the king didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. And it was always a horrible experience being in a pit, in a deep hole in the ground with no way of being able to get out yourself. And David says that's what it's like when you're a sinner. Being a sinner is like being stuck in a deep pit that you can't get out of. We can't get ourselves out of being sinners. We need to be pulled out of that pit. And David says that it was God who bowed down close to him and pulled him up out of the pit of fear and set his feet on a rock. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is able to pull us out of the pit of sin. There's no one else who can reach down into that terrible pit and pull us up out of it. But the Lord Jesus is able to pull us out of the pit of sin. And I'll be saying more about that in my sermon as we look to what is there in Psalm number 30. But for now, we come to God in prayer. In recent weeks, I've been mentioning for prayer three ministers in our denomination who have been under call. And one of them, Robert McCollum, minister in Newton Ards, has accepted the call of the Lisburn congregation. And then Andrew Kerr has been called to a church in America, and he's due to answer his call by the 16th of December. And Philip Dunwoody has been called from Derwick to Drumore, and that call is due to be presented to him on the 9th of December. So we continue to remember these men in our prayers. And then we also remember in prayer today Mr. James Michael Hatton, a local man whose wife, Lottie, would have been well known to many folk. And Lottie has died, and we remember James in our prayers. So we look now to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you that you are the God of salvation. You're the God of compassion, God who is full of mercy, a God who hears the prayers of your people. And we thank you, Lord, that you often give us things that we can delight in when you answer our prayers. And we want to return thanks to you, Lord, for the fact that last Lord's Day we were able to have our communion service in Karatz. And we do praise you for the timing of that. That it wasn't this week that it had been arranged for, but that it was last week. And we praise you for the reminders that we had from your word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to help us in our temptations, able to save us to the uttermost. And we thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you're the God who is able to present us faultless before your own presence with exceeding joy. And we just return thanks, Lord, for that blessing that it was to us to remember our Savior and his death and all it means for us. We pray, Lord, today for the different arrangements that we have. We do give thanks that we can in some way seek to worship you, and we pray for all other churches and the different arrangements that they have. We pray that it will just be for this 2-week period that we wouldn't be allowed to meet in public worship. And we pray for our missionary situations with the different nations that our missionaries are in being affected also. We pray for the church in Malaga, for Isaac Barakol, as he preaches your word in an online service. We pray for Andrew Little in Nantes and for Peter Jemfrey in Galway. And we give thanks, O Lord, for the news just very recently that the churches in the Republic of Ireland are going to be free to meet again from early in December. And we pray that that will be a thing in which they would be able to rejoice and that the people would be able to come together. Thank you also that in France, the restrictions are being lifted, and the restrictions in churches are among the first things to be lifted there. And we pray, Lord, that there will be good news also for the churches in Spain. We pray for your blessing upon the missionary work done in those locations and throughout the world. We pray for this new situation of lockdown that we're in, with many closures and different sectors. We pray for the very busy hospitals with nearly all the beds being occupied for a good while now. We do pray that there will be an easing of that, and we pray that these weeks of fewer contacts between people will make a significant difference. But we pray for those who will feel the extra isolation the most, and we do pray, Lord, for your comforting presence and help in these times. We pray for those who who are in mourning. And we ask, Lord, for your comfort for James Michael Hatton. We pray for him in the loss of his wife, Lottie, of many years. And we just pray for your strengthening hand there, and that you would be to James all that he needs at this time. Pray also for Lottie's sister, and ask for your comfort and your help for her. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon all who will feel that loss the most. And we pray for the congregation of First Kilrats, and we ask, Lord, that you'll be merciful to the people there, and that in the midst of the losses that we have known in these times, that you would have your comfort. We ask, Lord, for Reverend Robert McCollum as he prepares to move from Newton Ards to Lisburn, and we ask, O Lord, that you will prepare the way for him. Pray for Robert and his family and all the changes that are involved there. And we thank you for the encouragement that will be to the folk in Lisburn. We pray for the Newton Ards congregation, that you'll be with them and sustain them in these times. We pray for Andrew Kerr, that you guide him in his call to the church in New Jersey. And we pray for Philip Dunwoody as he considers the call from the Drumore congregation. We pray that you will lead these men. We thank you that Robert was able to come to a decision, that he knew your help in that. And we pray that the same would be true for Andrew and for Philip. Lord, we look to you. We ask that you would remind us of the God that you are as we look to the Scriptures. And we pray that we will know you as the one who strengthens us even in this day. We pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we turn in God's Word to Psalm 30, the psalm which we read earlier. I want to speak on this psalm. There have been many cases during this COVID-19 era where there have been people who have been very ill, people who perhaps have been on a ventilator and in intensive care, sometimes even in a coma, people who have survived against all expectations. And some of those who have lived to tell the tale have been Christians, and those people are still talking about the goodness of God and thanking God for his mercies towards them. And there are several Psalms of David that we have in the Scriptures where he's doing exactly the same thing, and he's thanking God for a wonderful deliverance. And Psalm 30 is one of those Psalms. Now, where exactly this psalm fits in to the life of David is a matter of some debate, and I'm not going to spend any time speculating on that. I want rather just to look at the words of the psalm and to seek to find help for us in these words. In the first place, looking at the opening three verses, we see delivered from death. David is praising God for delivering him from a time of deadly peril. And he says that he will extol the Lord because the Lord has lifted him up. Now, what does he mean when he says that the Lord has lifted him up? That's a phrase that could mean all sorts of different things. There's different ways of being lifted up, and some ways of being lifted up require a lot more effort than other ways of being lifted up. Well, last week when I was preaching, I took you on your travels to China. And today I'm taking you to another part of the world. We're not able to do much traveling in these days. Today we're off to India. And we're off to Tamil Nadu in India, and to the Dharmapuri district of Tamil Nadu. And so you can try to picture that in your mind, whatever notion of rural India you have. And imagine a little village that's on the edge of a forest. And out of the forest, there comes an elephant. And the elephant strays into the village. And on the ground in front of the elephant, there are some fairly flat bushes. And the elephant doesn't walk around the bushes because it doesn't have to, because it's an elephant. The elephant goes straight over the top of the bushes. But he doesn't go straight over the top of the bushes. He goes straight down and plummets 50 feet to the bottom of the well that the elephant has just walked over. The bushes had been covering the opening of the well. There was no wall around it. There was just those bushes laid flat on the ground. The elephant didn't know that there was a well there. And it fell to the bottom of the deep well. And when the local people realized what had happened, they called the local forest officials who came to help. Now, I'm not making this up. This is something that did actually happen within the last 2 weeks in India. And these officials came, and of course they looked into the well, and they could see that there was the elephant down at the bottom. The elephant was still alive, but it was a long way down, and there was no way that elephant was going to get himself up out of that well. There was water at the bottom of the well, and they decided there was danger that the elephant could drown, and so they used some pipes to try to pump the water out of the well. But the elephant didn't take kindly to this, and the elephant attacked the pipes. And I'm guessing that you ladies are thinking that was probably a male elephant, and you're right. It was a male elephant. And in the end, he had to be sedated. And the forest officials were able to then get straps down, and they were able to put the straps around the feet of the elephant, and they got a crane. This all happened over a bit of a 12-hour period, and the crane was able to hoist the elephant up gently out of the well. Feet first. The feet came up out of the well first. Elephant was dangling, rather ungainly, upside down position. And then they moved him gently over onto where there was ground below, and lowered the elephant onto the ground. And the elephant survived. The elephant was able to be on his feet again soon after he came out of sedation and off to do his business. But there was no way that elephant would have been able to get out of that well by himself. He needed to be lifted up out of the well. And that's the picture that David has here in this psalm. He was in a hopeless situation. He needed to be saved. He needed to be lifted up and lifted out of the pit that he was in. And David says it was the Lord that had done it. It was the Lord that had lifted him up. And he uses different phrases to describe the experience he had gone through. Verse 2, he says that you healed me. And it seems to have been a very serious illness that David had. Verse 3, he says, you brought my soul up from the grave. And again, you have kept me alive that I should not go down finally to the pit. He is conscious of his enemies in all of this. And at the end of verse 1, he says that you have not let my foes rejoice over me. They would have been glad to hear that David had died, but he didn't, because God lifted him up. And it was God that had healed him. And so David says, I will extol you, O Lord. You're the one who has healed me. And many of us who are listening to this message have known something of God's healing in our lives. And for some of us, if God hadn't healed us, we wouldn't be alive to be listening to this today. If it wasn't for God answering our prayers and using whatever means he used, whether it was surgery, whether it was medication, or whether it was something beyond explanation, God is the one who has healed us. And we have been in situations where we couldn't raise ourselves up, and God has raised us up. And for those who are sinners, in the hopelessness of our sin, it is God who heals us. It is God who lifts us out of that pit, and we owe everything to him. David writes about being delivered from death, and he wants to praise the Lord for that deliverance. And those who know that God has saved us, we can echo those thoughts. Well, then, in the second place, I want to think from verses 4 and 5 about what David says about anger and favor. David had good news to tell, and he had good cause to thank and praise the Lord. And his desire is that others should do the same, that others should be praising God as well. And that's what he calls for in verse 4. And then he tells us why that's appropriate in verse 5. So in verse 4, he addresses us and he tells us, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And we're called upon to remember the Lord. And he gives us the Lord's day that we might remember him. And we are to praise him. And we're to praise him, David tells us in verse 5, to praise him for what he is like and for what he has done for us. David says of God that his anger is but for a moment, whereas his favor is for life. And he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And these are precious words that God's people have delighted in over the years. God is a God who delights in showing favor. He loves to show favor to his people. And his favor, it lasts a lifetime. Indeed, the favor of God lasts forever. Whereas his anger is a momentary thing. It's but for a moment. It's there and then is gone. It's past. And the favor returns. And that's what God's like, David is saying. And that's how God's people experience God in our lives. Those who are the Lord's saints are not spared from the nights of weeping. And David doesn't say that we are. Doesn't say there not be any weeping. But he says that weeping may endure for a night. Believers and going through life can have very, very heavy hearts. At times, there can be real sadnesses that we can experience. But God is good, and there are new joys that come in the morning. And think about your own experience of life. And for many people, the experience of life that we have is that we have far more days of joy than we have days of weeping. Now, for some people, there can be many difficult days in life. many sad days. And for some, there can come a stage in life where from that point on, every day becomes a difficult day and a testing day. But even when that is the case, we can look back to the days before it was like that. And we can think of the many days and the many years that were joyful days. And when we knew the goodness of the Lord, when we knew his favor, and we can rejoice in those many years when the favor of God was very, very evident. David writes these things from his own personal experience. And he can say these things because and only because he trusted in the Lord. As someone who trusts in the Lord, David is able to say that his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. But not so for those who don't trust in the Lord. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, his anger will not be for a moment, but it'll be for every moment. And weeping will endure. And so we need to cry to the Lord. The Lord is able to save us from all of that anguish. And he is able to reach down and he is able to lift us up. With God, there is anger, but with God, there is favor. Then the third part of the psalm I want to speak about is verses 6 and 7. And here in these verses, David is confessing the sin of complacency. Sometimes God has lessons for us to learn from those nights of weeping, as David calls them. And he tells us here, the next thing in the psalm, that there was a reason why he had gone through what he had gone through. And the reason was his own complacency. He tells us what he had been thinking. He says, "Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." Here's David, and he just sees that things have all fitted nicely into place in his life. Everything's going well, and he just in his prosperity, he just thinks it's always going to be like this, and he thinks he has everything under his control. But that wasn't the case. In verse 7, he acknowledges that it was only by the favor of God that his mountain was standing strong at any stage. It wasn't that David was this strong mountain in and of himself. So he confesses his complacency. And Alec Motier writes about how that complacency showed itself. And he says, it shows itself in self-reliance and in presumptuousness. And in his prosperity, he had become self-reliant, trusting in himself. And in his security, he had become presumptuous, thought things are just continue like this. And those were things that God couldn't allow David to carry with him. He couldn't allow these things to take root and thrive in the life of David. And so God made David think very differently about life. God intervened in the life of David. The man who was thinking, I shall never be moved. Well, very soon he was the man in the pit, crying in desperation for God's deliverance. God forced David to rapidly reconsider the value of his riches and where his strength was really coming from. And he says in verse 7, that you hid your face and I was troubled. God hid his face from David. And if need be, God will do this in the lives of his people. God will hide his face from us if that is what is needed. And when God hides his face from us, when we no longer feel and experience his favor, we will know that something is wrong. David says he was troubled. We will be troubled if God hides his face from us. But we will be troubled for our good. And David was being troubled for his good. And when God hides his face from us, we'll no longer be thinking to ourselves, I shall never be moved. But rather we'll be crying out to the Lord in our need. We'll be trusting in him. And so God knows how to deal with the sin of complacency. And God may even use a global pandemic to shake his people throughout the earth out of our complacency. Maybe this is the way we have been. We have been thinking to ourselves, I shall never be moved. And we in our prosperity, in the comfortableness of our lives, maybe God has been hiding his face, and God has been shaking things up, and we've been troubled. And it's all for our good. It's all to remind us that our strength is to be found in him, and our riches are to be found in him. The sin of complacency. David isn't telling us that God saved him because he was a wonderful man. David says, I was in that situation because this is what I was really thinking in my heart. And then in the psalm, he goes on. The fourth thing I want to speak about is David's desperate prayer. And in verses 8 to 10, David is telling us what he said to the Lord when he had cried out to him for deliverance. This is what David had said when he was aware that the Lord had hidden his face from him. This is what David said when he was troubled by these things. His life was hanging by a thread. And we have his prayer recorded here in verses 8 to 10. When David was troubled, when he knew that he could not save himself or heal himself, he cried out to the Lord. And it is to the Lord, he says, that he made supplication. And it's a strange prayer, this prayer of David, particularly in verse 9. He asks God, God, what are you going to gain through my death? He says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? David has a fear that he mentions in verse 1 about how his death would be regarded by his enemies. And he feared that it would lead to the enemies of God rejoicing. And he couldn't see how that would do the cause of God any good. And if David was gone, there'd be one less voice to sing the praise of God. There'd be one less voice to declare the truth of God and to point people in the right direction. And the great psalm writer of Israel would be gone. And this is what David says in his prayer to the Lord. Now, I wonder, what do you think of that prayer? Do you think that God in heaven heard those words and he began to rethink things? And he said, well, right enough, David, you've got a point there. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea, striking you down the way I have struck you down. Maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to cut off the life support system. Well, I don't think so. I might be wrong, But I don't think this is a great prayer of David. But what comes in verse 10 is much more important. In verse 10, David says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper." And here, in these words, David isn't trying to convince God about what's in it for God if he spares David's life. Here, he just asks for God's mercy. He just asks for the Lord to be his helper. And God delights in answering those kind of prayers. And in our prayers, there may be much that is foolishness, much that's not very good, much that really isn't going to impress God. And God knows how to ignore all of those things. But he also knows how to hear a genuine cry for his mercy. People of the world say that God helps those who help themselves. But the scriptures teach us that the Lord loves to help those who know they can't help themselves. And David cries out to the Lord to help him, to be his helper, to show him mercy. Here is the desperate prayer of David. This is a prayer that God had responded to. And God had lifted him up out of the pit. And in many ways, it maybe wasn't a great prayer. But God heard it, and God answered it. And let it be an encouragement to us. You don't have to have all the right words. You don't need to have nicely polished prayers. In your prayers, there can be a whole lot of selfishness that is tangled up among them. But the Lord hears a cry for mercy. And the Lord delights in answering that prayer. And then the final part of the psalm, the last two verses, is about being forever thankful. David reminds us about the wonderful answer that he got to his prayer. The Lord had heard him, and the Lord had healed him. And he writes about the change that made in his life. "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." It's like the difference between a funeral and a wedding. It's just a completely different mindset. And God had done that. He had turned things around in David's life. And David is grateful for the mercy of God. He's grateful for the help that God gave in answer to his prayer. And he vows that he is going to keep on praising and thanking the Lord. That's what he's saying in verse 12. "To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." And so he will. And David even now is in heaven giving thanks to the Lord, and he'll keep doing so forever. This psalm gives us the experience of David, a very, very difficult time that he came through, how God lifted him out of all of this. And he ends with this desire that from now on, he will be a man who is always giving thanks to the Lord. Now, we shouldn't think that this one experience in the life of David was something that did change him forever and so completely that he never went astray again. That wasn't the case. And we see in the life of David times when he's walking in close fellowship with the Lord, and then times when he goes astray. And there's a saying that tells us that an elephant never forgets. And if there is some basis to that saying, well, then I reckon that the elephant in India that fell down the well won't fall down that well again. He'll remember. He'll remember to avoid that place. And anything else that looks a bit like it, he'll not go straight forward. He'll go round it. But David wasn't like the elephant. David would fall again. And we're like David rather than like the elephant. God can teach us great, deep lessons in life through the troubles that he brings into our lives. There are things that cause us to cry out to him. And God can teach us through those things. And we'll be all the wiser. And we'll be all the more mature for those times in our lives. But we will sin again. And we mustn't trust in our ability to learn from our falls. That is not our great hope. Our great hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of David. And unlike the David here in this psalm, the Lord Jesus never needed to confess his sin and cry out to God because of his own sin. Jesus had no sin. And yet Jesus was the one who was to bear the brunt of God's anger against sin. And Jesus knew, like none of us know, he knew the anger of God. Jesus experienced that anger at the cross. And there was a weeping. There was a weeping that the Lord Jesus experienced. And there was a going down to the pit that Jesus endured. And it is through what Jesus did for us that we experience the mercy of God and the help of God. And he is the one, our crucified Lord is the one who can lift us up. When that elephant in India was lifted out of the well, there wasn't much dignity for the elephant. Looked pretty pathetic, dangling in the air, upside down, hoisted up by his feet, trunk, and ears flapping all over the place. There wasn't much dignity. But that was the only way of rescue. There was no other way that that elephant was getting out of there. And for a sinner to be saved can be a very humbling experience. It's not something that we would readily choose for ourselves, because when you look to Jesus to save you, you are so hopeless and helpless, and you're utterly in the hands of someone else. But that's what's necessary. And Jesus knows what is needed. He knows what he is doing, and he is able to lift us up. David says, "You, O Lord, you have lifted me up, and so I will give thanks to you forever." Do you know today what it is to have been lifted up out of that hopeless pit, that the Lord has done it? And are you going to praise and thank him forever? Amen. Well, we'll sing part of this psalm, Psalm 30. The stanzas we sing are 1 to 3, and then also the last stanza, number 6. And the tune is Clarksville, number 220. So Psalm 30, first 3 stanzas, and then also number 6. Lord, I will you exalt, for you have set me free, and over me to joy made not my enemy. To you, O Lord my God, I cried, and you have health and strength supplied. You have my soul restored, restored it from the grave, and from the pit, O Lord, alive, you did me save. O you, his saints, sing to the Lord, with thanks his holiness record. And let us sing our thanks to the God who is the one who lifts his people up and lifts us out of the pit. Psalm 30, first 3 stanzas, and then the last stanza, number 6, the tune Clarksville 220. And after this, I close in the benediction. Blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.